Welcome to Glow in the Dark.
Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark.
This is Glow in the Dark Radio. Our theme music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. Usually this is a science fiction podcast, but this is a special music extra. I got the chance to sit down with a couple of great Burlington-based musicians, Matt Hutton and Sean Tui. They were in bands in Burlington called Spray 9 and Envy, moved down to Boston and started the Red Telephone, got signed to Warner Brothers Records, had a major label debut, and that was it. Then two of their own independent releases. They did a reunion album about 4 years ago, 2014. And they're playing this weekend back in Burlington. And I had the chance to sit down with them and look back at their 25 years of making music together. It's on this special Glow in the Dark Radio Extra, a music extra.
Mike Luoma. Joining me in the studio, actually in the living room, let's be honest here, is Matt Hutton and Sean Tui. They are going to be performing together as the Hutton-Tui Disaster 25 Years of Songs and Sounds tomorrow night, Saturday night, 7 to 9 at Radio Bean in Burlington. Matt, Sean, welcome.
Hey, nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
It's great to have you guys getting back together and doing this, too. I just think it's very cool.
It's cool to be here in your space, too. You've got your Marc Maron thing going on here.
It's a little more chill than like a regular radio station environment. Yeah. It gives us a chance to kind of converse and talk about stuff in a little more natural setting, which is nice.
It's great.
What brings you guys together this time for this 25th anniversary kind of thing? I mean, does it hit you, oh my God, we've been doing this 25 years?
That's part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You want to feel it?
Sure. we didn't pre-screen, so we're going to take these as they come. It just seemed like a great time to do it. We hadn't played. We played an Envy reunion show about 2 years ago in Burlington, and we had talked over the idea of maybe doing another show. But it seemed like, well, we waited 21 years to do that show. Maybe it was a little too early for another Envy reunion. But as we got talking about it, we realized that the two of us could actually just do a show based on the three bands that we had over that span of time. And that it would be pretty cool to sort of mix those songs together and see how it came out.
Hmm. So what's going to be the configuration? Is it just you two guys with guitars?
It is us with guitars. But we had never, any time we had played a show, did a kind of reunion thing. We did it with the Red Telephone as well. In 2014, we made a new record. Whoever we're playing with, we're limited to the songs that we did with that band. So we thought, and particularly Spray 9, who we started with here, we were sort of nostalgic about that. That was sort of before the Burlington scene kind of exploded. It was just prior. We were missing some of those songs, and we thought, we could just mix this all together, and it would just be a lot of fun. And really focus on the guitar sounds that we have always been dedicated to.
That's cool. It sounds like it's going to be a fun adventure for you guys to be on as well as to entertain with. So.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's still a work in progress.
That's cool. Now, how did you guys first get together as Spray 9? How did the first Hutton-Tui thing come together?
Well, we met each other at UVM. I grew up in Burlington. Sean is from the greater Lowell area. Yeah, not from Massachusetts.
Well, as am I. I'm from Hudson, Mass. I can't fault you for being from Lowell.
I was kind of because we heard that expression yesterday.
We did.
Kind of funny.
I grew up in a town called Chelmsford, which happens to be in between Lowell and Concord, which is a pretty good way to describe it.
Oh, come
generally
on, it's greater Lowell.
but what was funny is
I drive through there.
There you go. But what the Matt and I had played together in college, just, you know, two guys with acoustic guitars. And then during, I think it was a spring break, instead of going off on some, you know, southern warm vacation, we ended up taking a four-track to my parents' house and recording a bunch of songs. And that sort of, I think it was either four or five songs, was the first time we had actually sort of intentionally tried to create a sound and work on songs that one or the other of us had written. And that was what was the original document that we worked from to start Spray 9.
That, yeah, we I had had other bands in Burlington, like Fellow Thieves, Windmill, The Platitudes. I mean, we went way back. But we had just played for fun, you know, in our suite at Living Learning. And then it suddenly was like, well, we could do a project because this is just a lot of fun. We really enjoy this. We like the same music. And it just made sense. So that's when we put Spray 9 together. And Chris Miller, who was the bass player, he was from South Burlington as well. I went to high school with him. And the drummer was Rob Jones, who was playing in my brother's band, The Trees. And just came together.
I remember them.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was, yeah. That was a certain era in Burlington as well. I used to play at Nectar's with them, like when I was 13, 14. I would sneak in through the back door and play drums and bass with them. But yeah, so that's pretty much how it all connected together.
Yeah, and I mean, it goes back layers because, and this is a segue to the name of the show as well, but I had a band in high school called Meaningless Disaster.
Oh. Which I think is the greatest name of all time.
And yeah. And the drummer in Meaningless Disaster was my cousin Mark Britton, who played drums on the demo and then subsequently years later was the drummer for the Red Telephone.
Wow.
Yeah. So you know, there's a lot of history there.
It all kind of connects.
It did connect.
It came around. Yeah, after we went and formed the Red Telephone, we had already had experience playing with him. And so that kind of was a reunion of its own as well.
Well, let's play a little music.
Sure.
Let's do something from Spray 9. I don't remember the tune, so I want you guys to pick out the tune we're going to hear.
Which one would be? Maybe Before the Fall?
I think, yeah, that's a good way to start.
Yeah, Before the Fall.
All right, so this is Spray 9. It's Matt Hutton and Sean Tuohy, and this is Before the Fall.
Yeah. sharing what you've got, it's not enough to cover up thoughts of things I've compromised. We're listening to your lullabies, and if it's all the same to you, I've had enough. I think I'm through, 'cause I still don't your version of the truth. And yet you look at me in the eye, a thousand words, a thousand sighs, a thousand memories tonight. And yet you still
that is a thousand lies from, was it still Venus Envy then? Yes,
yeah.
Venus Envy. I've got Matt Hutton and Sean Tuohy here live in the studio, and we're listening to songs from throughout their 25 years of recording. Man, It's making me feel old talking about that.
It's the midlife crisis show. Yeah.
These guys are going to be playing at Radio Bean. They're going to be there tomorrow night, 7 until 9 p.m. Radio Bean in Burlington, the Hutton Tui Disaster, 25 years of songs and sounds. And we're just getting started. We just heard Spray 9 Before the Fall and Venus Envy, A Thousand Lies. And that was on the cassette EP?
That's right.
Yep.
Now, what happened? Was there already a Venus Envy band out there? I mean, it was a song, I mean, originally, that you guys took the name from, wasn't it?
No, we just liked the name.
Oh, okay.
And it's something about there being two guys on guitars and a female rhythm section is unusual. We just kind of liked Venus Envy. Would just seem to, it was kind of lighthearted, but it also was just a cool, it had a psychedelic element to it. And
a little double entendre.
Total double entendre. That was like that. But there,
you
had
picked
been
up on that?
Yeah, that's I good. Did. Yeah.
There had been a book called Venus Envy, and I think other people. Oh, that's what you were talking about. There had been a book, not a record.
Oh, a book. Okay.
Called Venus Envy, and so it turned out there were several other bands called Venus Envy,
and we quickly learned that some of those people showed up at our shows and were not very happy.
Well, they were lesbian bands because the book was a lesbian themed, and so it made that more awkward when they would come to the show and find out we weren't, you know, providing that that particular outlet in the music. We changed the name to Envy, and then we still had these cassettes, Venus Envy. And so we called it the Venus EP because we still had the cassettes lying around.
Might as well.
Right. And so that's what A Thousand Lies is from.
Okay. And then things really started to take off for you with Envy, with Venus Envy and Envy. And we got a CD from you guys. It was the beginning of like CDs. People were first starting to make them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. With Spray 9, we had just made a cassette. And this was when people just started to realize you could make a cassette on your own, just bring it to Pure Pop and put it in the local section and people would buy it. And it was, I have to give, I think it was Slush at the time. They became 5 Seconds Inspired. Mm. They made a CD and then everybody said, oh, well, we can do this.
Yes.
And that coincided with, it coincided with us doing better and better in town. And then you helped us out immensely when you were at WIZN. Putting the song Bomb in rotation.
That's right.
That was fun. You know, it was great to be able to support local music. Back then, it was a different era for radio.
It really was. I mean, you were on classic rock format. But
it hadn't really become a classic rock station.
That's true.
Right? It was been a mix. AOR. That used to be a thing. Album-oriented rock, you know, where you'd play classics and new stuff.
Right.
And you'd mix it up, you know. But, of course, consultants killed that. But yeah, I mean, it was a great time. The mid-90s, we were playing a lot of local music, and we were playing, you know, bands like Envy in rotation.
I remember when I was at the OP, the other place, and heard that come over the speakers, and that's when something dawned on me, that something about hearing it coming through WIZN was just like a building block for me, and just as a musician, knowing that there was that possible reach. It's the first time I felt that. I mean, we've been playing at WRUV, you know, but
right. And that was the time at which I think that the airplay on IZN it really impacted the fact that there would be people just living in the Burlington area who would know who we were just because we were played on the radio in a way that you would never be known if you were a band that just played in clubs.
Right.
So you know, we played a show. I think it was at City Hall. And we played Bomb, and there were these kids there, and they
like
were
high school
kids. Yeah, and they were cheering for it, and we didn't really understand because we thought, well, how could have they ever heard of us before? But then, of course, they heard the song on the radio. So yeah, it had a huge impact.
It did.
Well, I think we should play Bomb.
Yeah, it seems appropriate. That was our first big song, song that people knew, and even when we did our reunion show a couple of years ago, you could still see people mouthing the words. Mm. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have been a part of that, you know?
Really. You totally were.
Definitely.
So this is Bomb. We're talking with Matt Hutton and Sean Tui. Again, you can see them live tomorrow at Radio Bean, 7 to 9, the Hutton Tui Disaster, 25 years of songs and sounds. And this is Envy, Bomb. Bomb. That is World Is Loud from The Red Telephone, the Warner Brothers record, as I've been told it is. That is the first Red Telephone release on Warner Brothers. And we heard Bomb from the Envy CD before that, from Distorted Greetings. And I've got Matt Hutton and Sean Tuohy here with me, and we're talking about 25 years of songs and sounds, because that's what they're going to be playing tomorrow night at Radio Bean from 7 until 9, the Hutton-Tuohy disaster. So that sounds fine to me, but you guys were talking about it as the Warner Brothers record, and it sounds like you never quite achieved what you wanted to with that first Red Telephone CD. Is that the case?
You could say that. we had done a number of demos on our own. And at that time, in the mid to late 90s, you could still be a rock band and get signed from a demo tape. And they really enjoyed our demos, and we captured something there. And then when we went into the big studios to try to recapture it, it didn't quite have the magic. And then we kind of got convinced to give the album a mix. Chris Lord-Alge, he's a mixer. He mixes like Green Day and stuff. But he mixed it very heavy, very big. And so I think that contributed to us kind of being misperceived as almost like a hard rock band. And that song, World Is Loud, was one that actually came out more like We Like It.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. How would you?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, from the beginning, and you maybe it, over listening to these songs, you know, I think the root of what Matt and I had in common was the sort of 60s pop sound. And, you know, that evolved over time. We were certainly influenced by the louder music that came out, especially in the 90s, and that was a big part of our sound. But we always wanted it to focus on melody and the song itself. And we were less interested in being a quote unquote rock band. But I think what happened when we went into the studio, and when with some prodding in a certain direction by some of the people we were working with, it got pushed in that direction in a way that wasn't exactly what we were trying to do.
It's funny, you think of sort of these men in suits kind of controlling this young band. It wasn't exactly that. We did have our creative control, but you get kind of swayed one way or the other. They'll say, well, you know, this sounds great, but it's not going to get on the radio if you don't have a big mix, you know. And so you'll kind of then say, all right, maybe we ought to do it. But then it sort of flattened the sound. So that's, and we hadn't built up a big following. We got signed really fast, and so we got kind of lost out on the road.
And you guys had relocated at this point, hadn't you? From
right.
Burlington down to Boston.
We did.
Yeah. Yes. What prompted the move? Was it just trying to get signed?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't. No, it was, we kind of had exhausted, we felt like we'd exhausted our audience in Burlington. We kind of were in a holding pattern, and we were getting all this good press and like all this love out of Boston, and so we were embraced by certain people down there, and we realized that we could reach more people if we were there. And then I guess just some kind of internal things about envy also kind of were an issue. And then when we went to Boston, we had no idea, we didn't really have anything, we didn't know who was going to be our rhythm section. We really were just kind of shooting the moon, but things fell into place quickly. And maybe some of it because some of these tastemakers down there did know Envy. So we managed to get in the Rock and Roll Rumble in Boston, and we made it to the semifinals. And that's a big event in Boston, or it was at the time.
But if you guys had recorded that original Spray 9 stuff down at your place, in some ways it was going back to where you had started.
Right, and yeah, and I mean, we did end up, again, playing with Mark Britton on drums and then Pat McDonald on bass, who was a friend of Mark's. That's how we ended up meeting him. So, yeah, it did kind of come full circle in that sense. Yeah. But we definitely, all of it, at least in retrospect, seems like it's a progression towards what we ultimately ended up doing. But we just didn't know how to get there.
Yeah, Boston, there was always that presence because, Sean's essentially from that area. And then the musicians that the Red Telephone were, I was the only Vermonter in the Red Telephone. So It was kind of just a step up in trying to reach an audience there, and much more challenging as well.
So how did you guys keep it going after getting an album out that you weren't that psyched about, that you didn't feel it quite represented all you were, and you know, you still want to keep going as a band? How do you find that next step then?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the story of what happened once it went south is the familiar label story.
Like the behind the music thing?
Right, yeah. It's not much different than any of those stories you hear. But I think the thing that was different about us is that, one, the friendship that Matt and I have to be going into it, and then also, you know, my relationship with Mark, but then the bond that the four of us had as a band. Because we really did, we spent most of our time together. We weren't out on the scene sort of would have been better served going out every night and trying to meet people in Boston. But what we really ended up doing is going and rehearsing.
Playing and recording.
Right.
We recorded all our own stuff after that. We totally had fun. Even when things were going south, we were always having fun. And I'm grateful for that. I think when people hear the story, they say, but wait a second, why haven't I heard of you? And I'll say, you know, for every band you hear on the radio, there's 20 who were signed that you haven't heard. It's a common story, but you kind of know when you go into it, or you kind of want, you convince yourself that it's going to go differently with you.
Right. I mean, it was funny because when we were coming up, we ran into the Gigolo Aunts in Boston, a Boston band.
Great band.
And similar to us in certain ways, in the sense of the having the pop, but still the loud guitars. But, you know, they told us these warning tales, and we said, oh, no, don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. And then we found that, you know, 4 years later, we were warning this other band, Long Wave from New York, who had just gotten signed, be careful. And they said, oh, don't worry, you know.
we got a great manager. Yeah, we said, we had Nirvana's manager.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's a small world up there, and it's not necessarily going to make a difference. Long Wave are great, and they put out some great records.
Yeah, I remember the name. I can't say I remember.
Well, very atmospheric. They were also signed on a major label.
Yeah. Yes. So you haven't heard of them. Right. Yeah. But we played with them a lot in New York City at this place, Luna Lounge. There was a bit of a scene there, produced the Stroke. A number of comedians that are big now also were there, Luna Lounge, and they had this atmospheric guitar thing. I think we kind of went in that direction. We went from more power pop to a more atmospheric, psychedelic kind of thing in the Red Telephone. It wasn't about like, oh, we want to make it big, and so, well, that didn't work out, so we'll just break up. We still really wanted to make the music, and we still wanted people to hear it. We didn't feel people had really heard us.
Yeah.
And because the demos were always what we were going for, we then started recording our own albums.
Right. I mean, that was the sort of silver lining of the Warner Brothers experience, was that when it was over, we walked away with some money that we actually just sort of reinvested into the band used to put out a couple more CDs on our own.
Not every band can say that. Right. I mean, a lot of bands, they walk away from the label experience. They're done. They're spent. They don't have anything saved.
It's really hard to reclaim your name, but it was kind of like getting an arts grant. That was probably the best aspect of it. And so we managed to settle with them because it was a 3-record deal. And so then we were able to fund making 2 more records and getting ourselves on tour and promoting. And those records did far better.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. They got good reviews. They got played on college radio. You know, they charted on college radio.
Well, let's play something off of one of those.
Yeah.
One of the ones like when you guys kind of reclaimed your musical soul.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What shall we play?
It seems like we have to play Jet Pilot High.
Yeah. Now, if there were a bomb from the Red Sox, the bomb, the song from Envy, if you go to Spotify and you look at the Red Telephone, it's Jet Pilot High is the song that gets the most plays. So
Jet Pilot High.
And it was the first thing we put out after leaving the major label experience, and we were sort of reclaiming ourselves, and we still had a confidence about us, that, and we were going back with a vengeance, and this was the first tune on that record.
Cool. So this is the Red Telephone, Jet Pilot High. The Red Telephone, Under the Northern Sky from the Reunion album, Places You Return. What was that, 2016? Was it just a couple years ago? Or
it was actually 2014, because in 2016 we got Envy back together.
Oh, okay.
So sort of a two-year
yeah, we're on two-year rotation. Intervals.
Right. That is Places You Return from 2014. Time flies faster and faster. But
yeah.
I've got Matt Hutton and Sean Tuohy here in the living room talking about 25 years of songs and sounds. They are going to be performing together at Radio Bean tomorrow, 7 until 9, which is why we've kind of done this retrospective and looked back across the years. I got to say, it was great, well, now 4 years ago, to all of a sudden hear we were going to get something new from the Red Telephone. You guys were like, hey, Mike, guess what? We got something.
We were really happy with it. I live in Nashville now, and I would send songs up, and everybody worked on their parts individually. And we got together and we recorded the whole thing in 3 days.
Really?
In Boston, yeah. With this really good engineer, Joel Simches. And we really were happy. We felt like it was seamless with our old stuff. And we had all been playing all along. So we locked right back into it, and just really happy with that record.
Yeah, in some ways I'd say that record sounds like the record that I think we were trying to make for a long time.
Really?
It really kind of is. I always think when bands are older, they always say, oh, but our new stuff is the best, but you kind of know that the earlier stuff was better. And even the way people reacted to this record, it really felt like something was coming together rather than just recycling something. As if it's something we had to do.
And before we get on the mic here, you were saying the song we were just listening to, Under the Northern Sky, is actually a very old song, or has an old genesis to it.
It makes me think about living in Burlington and back in the 90s, and I wrote that in about 93, and it sat around, and I tried different approaches to it and never quite got it right, and then we finally locked into a version we liked. And that one came out nicely on Places You Return. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've realized just when trying to rehearse for this gig, that there's this weird synchronicity between the songs from Spray 9 and Envy and the Red Telephone, that, you know, if you take away certain things that were very different about each of those bands, the songs, there's certain elements that are consistent and that they sort of carry through. That's part of whatever it is that we're doing. So
wow, you just said synchronicity. If Sean Tuohy said synchronicity, there's something special.
So are you finding that in rehearsing for the gig that some of that those elements are coming out?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think one of the we're trying to figure out, well, does this sound that we used, you know, in the Red Telephone work on the song that we're playing from Envy, kind of thing? But what we're realizing is that certain elements are the same regardless of what sound you have on top of it.
Right. So it's really cool being able to mix and match and just kind of collapse time.
It's still you guys.
Right.
You know, that's the through point here, is that it's still, you know, Matt and Sean writing this stuff. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Congratulations on 25 years of it, too.
Hey, it's so strange.
It's got to be cool to look back and go, we've got a career here.
We have a sort of body of work.
Yeah, yes. Right. We're having to actually make some tough decisions about what to play, because there's a lot of things we're not going to be able to play.
There's so much that we like, and we'll just we'll go with what feels best for this.
Yeah.
For this show.
Well, congratulations. You know, this is cool. I think it's great that you're able to do this. And kind of appreciate it for yourselves, too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And thanks so much for inviting
us. Yeah, thanks for having
us.
It's really great to talk about it. To catch up again.
Yeah, this is great. You know, for me, it's kind of full circle, too. So, and again, the place to see these guys, Radio Bean, tomorrow night, 7 until 9. The Hutton Tuohy Disaster, 25 years of songs and sounds. Matt, Sean, thank you guys.
Yeah,
great
thank
talking
you.
To you.
My thanks again to Matt Hutton and Sean Tuohy. They are at Radio Bean in Burlington, Vermont, Saturday, June 23rd, 7 to 9 p.m. as the Hutton Tuohy Disaster playing music from throughout their 25 years together in Spray 9, Envy, and The Red Telephone. It's great to be able to sit down with them. And that is all for this Glow in the Dark Radio Music Extra. Our theme music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I'm your host, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.